The kingdom operates by keys. It doesn't operate by self-sufficiency. It operates by wisdom of the keys. If you don't have the keys, you don't get kingdom. It comes by keys, amen? And there are hidden keys. God has a huge keychain that opens all kinds of things. We're looking right now at the inheritor's keychain. How God intends to inherit the nations in the last days. And how the great wealth transference of the nations is coming in these days. And how he's going to unlock things by keys. Amen? What is a key to? It unlocks a door. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to exhort. It's going to be a review. I'm going to try to say in 15 minutes what I said in a whole hour the other day. The Beersheba inheritance. I'm going to try to explain and exhort to you what God's doing. God has a method. And he has legalities. Whenever God moves into the earth, he moves legally. He doesn't just arbitrarily move. Anybody who thinks God's just going to fall out arbitrarily, you don't understand God. God has to work with human agency. And when he's dealing with finance, say global finance, or global acquisition, assets, land, all manner of assets you can think of, from precious metals to commodities to land. He does it legally. Now, God can anoint you and bless you. And that's where we've been in the body of Christ. But God is raising up inheritors. When Jesus appeared to Paul, he said, preach remission of sin to the lost. He goes, because that's the only thing they can hear. Basically, preach the cross and remission of sin. But if you get someone born again and you go preach the cross and remission of sin to them for 50 years to come, you're doing them an injustice because the second part, he said, preach inheritance to those that are sanctified. So today we're preaching inheritance. Amen? But inheritance in the last days comes by way of keys. It's the wisdom of the heirs, and he's giving some right now. Let's go back into the mystery of the seven wells of Beersheba. As you know, Abraham originally went into the land of Gerar. Abimelech was there, and he dug wells. Whenever you dig a well and you find something the enemy doesn't have, he will try to come and steal it. He's stealing wells right now. He's stealing election wells, but God's got some more coming that he won't be able to steal. Amen. But he came to steal, kill, and destroy, and he stole Abraham's well. And Abimelech didn't know it. Abimelech recognized the blessing on Abraham, and he came to him. Let's make a covenant. He goes, how are you going to make a covenant with me when you're stealing from me? And Abimelech, whether Abimelech knew it or not, he probably did steal it. He wasn't owning the truth. He said, it wasn't me, Abraham. I didn't have anything to do with it. He says, but let's make a covenant. Now you have to understand, when this was happening, God the Father was operating through Abraham. He had already made a covenant to come into the earth. So God not only promised through a covenantal ritual with, I think it was in Genesis 14 or 15, he cut a covenant for the land of Israel. He said, I swear to you by this covenant. So in heaven, the covenant with God and man was produced, but then God legally needed to get to that land. Say legally. And to do that, he needed the owners of the land to come to him and ask for a covenant. And as soon as Abimelech said, let's make a covenant, God the Father speaks up, and Abraham said, yes, that is exactly what we'll do, because all I need is a seed. And so when they make a covenant, they're exchanging things. They exchange animals and all kinds of right animals. But then Abraham had set aside seven lambs. And so they had already made the covenant in the exchange. Abimelech asked him in verse 29 of Genesis 21, he said, what mean these seven lambs you've got set aside over here? What are they for? Because they had already done the covenantal exchange. And then Abraham said to him, for these seven lambs thou shalt take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto thee that I have digged this well. In other words, in the covenant is already produced, but these seven lambs are here for this one well. All you need is one well. All you need is a seed to inherit the entire land. That day, God purchased a well called Beersheba, which Beersheba means seven, the well of seven, because God's opening another well of seven in the last days. But all he needed was that well, and he purchased it with seven lambs. Seven, we understand, is perfection. Perfection really came by the blood of Jesus, but Jesus wasn't in the earth, so God said, listen, I'll use seven lambs to replicate and resemble the perfection of the blood that's going to purchase this land for all eternity. The devil can have the whole earth, but he wants that one piece right there. And he's always wanted it. Because God said, that's mine. That's why news will always be on Israel. God is coming back because he's going to reign out of Israel for 1,000 years. But Jesus, he brought the crown, the throne of David, all of it in Acts chapter 2, and he brought it up into the heavens. And he allowed that kingdom and the walls of Jerusalem to be destroyed 60 some years later. He allowed that to happen because he took the throne into heaven. Now, legally, he's bringing the throne back. He's bringing the house back because he said, upon the throne of David, he will establish it from henceforth. So he's going to legally bring something spiritual back into the natural. And he's legally going to rule out of this land of Israel. But back in that day, he purchased that well with seven lambs. And Abimelech made the covenant and said, that's yours. And God, as soon as he said it's yours, as soon as they made a covenant, God said, that's all I need. Because now all the land is mine because I've got a foot. God stepped his foot through Abraham through a legal arrangement in the earth. Already had made the covenant, but then he stepped his foot down. All he needed was a well. And all the land was his. But that was the father, so he needed the son because Isaac represented who? He represents the son, Christ, the son that was born out of death. All of Abraham's faculties were dead. That was the resemblance of the spiritually dead generation we lived in. But Christ was born alive. Amen? So Christ or Isaac had to enter into the same covenant. And God had to orchestrate that. He was going to go down to Egypt because God said, no, go to Gerar, go to Abimelech, and he pierced him in the face of God. And he confirms to him that these lands I've already given, they're already yours and they belong to your seed. And Galatians says he's not speaking of seed as of many, as of the natural seed, but seeds as of one, which was Christ. All these promises were made, all these covenants were cut for him to inherit all of it. And then he, as the inheritor heir, will share it all with us as joint heirs. Everyone say, I'm joint heir. So Isaac had to be trained for this. So he went through the same battle that Abraham went through. He would find water and the enemy said, that's my water. He'd find water again. He says, that's my water. He'd find water again and he says, that's my water. How many of you have ever had a business birth out and all of a sudden it got stolen and you had to start all over again and you didn't think you could do it, but then boom, there it goes. When you dig the wells, don't ever quit. You might have gone through a bitter situation. You cannot birth in bitterness. You got to let it go and get ready to dig again, because every well the devil steals, God has one that's seven times better. And then he brings in the Rehoboth and the enemy. God said, no more theft. See, there's a time that God says no. And he came into an exceeding fruitful field in Rehoboth. And the enemy could not approach it. It was his. He could have quit there. But God had something greater for him. God revisits him again and says, I have something I need you to do. I need you to be the inheritor heir of a covenant I already produced in the earth. And he takes him back to Beersheba. And this time, the same Abimelech and his chief captain, Phicol, they come and say, hey, what mean is this you leaving us like this? We've done you no harm. Nah, yeah, right. You've only stolen from me. He goes, why do you come to me? See, you hate me. He says, we don't hate you. We've been friends with you. You ever heard that before? But Isaac could see what the Lord's doing. He knew their heart, but God needed a covenant, and he had them come and ask for it. He said, let us make a covenant. God had to put such a blessing on Isaac that he reaped 100-fold in a time of famine. Listen, God's people can reap in times of disaster greater than any other time. If you are positioned in God, you got to get positioned. If you are being swept away by the storms and the famine and the dryness and the drought and you're giving your words to all that, you're never going to reap. You got to live in another realm, another kingdom, another place. When famine's in the land, it's your time. When you see nothing's going right for anybody, say, this is my time to shine. You have to have that kind of belief system. You got to be seated in that kind of place. You got to know who you are in these times. And so Isaac comes in, and Abimelech comes in. And Isaac could have told him no, because Abimelech stole all that from him. He said, but God, he knew. So he makes the covenant again. And guess what he gets? The well of Beersheba. The well of the seven. The seven waters, the well of the seven. That his daddy, see, Christ had to be the inheritor heir of all that's daddy's. See, all that was daddy's was given to Adam, and Adam lost all that was daddy's. So God had to raise up another heir that belonged to daddy. And then he had to die and then resurrect. And the Bible says in Hebrews, he was the appointed of heir of all things. Daniel 7 says he ascended before the Ancient of Days, and there was given him a glory and a kingdom and a dominion and everlasting. He disappeared into the Ancient of Days. And God reassigned the earth. He reassigned all the wealth. He reassigned lands. He reassigned. He is the heir of all of it. It may look like the devil is heir. Remember when the devil brought him up to an exceeding large mountain during the time of his temptation? And he opened his eyes. He says, all of these kingdoms and the glory of them I'll give to you. He stole all that. And he's trying to give Christ, cut a deal with him. Of something he stole. And he said, get behind me. I worship the Lord thy God. He didn't argue with his right at the time. But he knew he was about to repurchase all of it. The blood purchased it all. It's all there. But God in his genius did something. He restored the right of inheritance all the way in the heavenlies. That's why the Bible says you are blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And we're a church that walks around in the sand, not this church, but the one down the street, walks around the sandbox wanting to know how this airship works when they're playing in the sand. And there has to be a transference of that which is spirit back into the earth. Why didn't you just transfer it into the earth? Why this exchange thing? Wouldn't it be easier if I could just see it, grab it? Why do I got to go get something that's invisible and bring it back into the visible? That's the hardest thing ever, is getting that which is invisible into visibility. Because God requires there's a process to get that done. But it's all there. That's why he said, pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your understanding may be open to what's there, to what's inside you. That you may know the hope of the calling of Christ in you. Well, I'm born again. I'm pretty sure he's running around in there somewhere. There's a lot up in here. It all depends on which one's running the show. But if you understand what's up inside of here, there's a kingdom in there. There's waters. There's a fountain for you and river for the world. Rivers, Bible says. Fountain for you to drink and rivers for the world. The Word dwells inside of you richly. Holy Ghost lives up in there. Father lives in there. Christ lives in there. Lots of stuff up in there. But you won't know it if you don't give attention to it. You got to give attention. So Isaac comes and he cuts the covenant. And boom! The same covenant, he inherits the well of Beersheba. Why is that important? Because foreshadowing Christ would own the promised land. All God needed to do is for Isaac to inherit that well. And soon as Isaac inherited the same well, that entire promised land, God had his foot. And all God needs to do is just dip his foot in. We think you have to have the whole, but all you need is a seed. You can do that in offerings, but I'm talking about inheritor seed now. I saw a room, I'll just call it the crown vault. There was a lot of stuff up in there. And God has some serious genius. Now, I want to show this principle once again, because this, I was sharing all this with Catherine. She goes, oh, she was in intercession. And she goes, oh, the same principles in Jeremiah 32. I said, tell me. So we started reading Jeremiah 32. I'm like, whew. Praise God. All right, so go to Jeremiah 32. So we saw that God, all he needed to do is access the well. He had already spoken in the face of God, all of these lands I've already given thee. But he had to have a legal right to the land. Even though Abraham had legal covenant, Isaac was operating the blessing, God needed ownership. The reason the enemy could steal the lands because there was no legitimate ownership. But when he secured the ownership by right of covenant, it wasn't just the father, but the son had to come in and secure the legal ownership. They made a contract. And Isaac made covenant and he inherited. Now it's our time. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, it's your time. The word is living. And when you learn to keep it and dwell in it, it'll allow you to go into encounters with it. And it'll take you into places that are in front of you. It'll take you right now. He's taking us into wisdom. I would consider it at the extreme level right now. Wisdom that's going to allow us to inherit the earth. Wisdom that's going to allow the crown access to every tongue, tribe, nation, resource, whether silver, gold, agriculture, stock, bonds, I don't, you name it. Ownership. I'm going to show you this with Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32. This is where God's going to, this is right before, let's set this up. God is going to allow his land to be taken over by heathen, by the Chaldeans or by Babylon. Same spirit of Babylon right now trying to take over the earth. Babylonian spirit's been around since the ancient of days, all the way to the Tower of Babel. Same spirit. This time it wants world global dominance. It's got its bride in the second heaven. We're the bride in the third heaven. You know that harlot of Babylon in Revelations 19 says she sits upon the waters of the world. Kings of the earth are enriched by her. Lots of people up in there. And it says about her, she says, I sit as a queen, watch this, and I am no widow. I mean, she's married. Who's she married to? Well, if you go in Isaiah and meditate out the chapter that talks about Lucifer, son of the morning, he's described specifically as the king of Babylon. That's his bride. You see what she looks like. There's no end to her abominations. You haven't seen what God's bride looks like yet. She hadn't been crowned yet. But it's coming. Amen? And God's going to display her before he takes her out of the earth. He's going to display us, not in our present condition. There's a radical transformation. We're on the verge of it. But I'm going to give you some wisdom on how this inheritor thing works, the way he's showing it to us. And I'm going to pray the Lord open your eyes to make it relative to you. Of how when God says something to you, though you haven't received it, there are things that you can do. God may have spoken to you about a business or a field or an investment or a home. Jeremiah 32. Children of Israel, they're about to go into captivity. God's about to allow his people and those lands to be taken over. He's going to put them under captivity. he was giving it away, but God was going to have Jeremiah do something that day. Because he was giving the land to the heathen, he had to have a legal right to come back and get it. So God is going to secure legal rights. Say legal rights. If you understand this principle, you're going to understand how God's going to inherit the earth in the last days. How he's going to use us to inherit the earth. So the first thing he does, he comes to Abraham in verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shalum, thine uncle, he said he's going to visit you. And he's going to say to you, the Lord's telling him basically, your cousin is coming to see you. And he's going to ask you to buy the field that is in Anathoth. Or Anathoth. Now Anathoth means answer or answered prayer. So there's a key of the kingdom to answered prayer when it comes to inheriting in Anathoth. There's something that, and you're going to start seeing this all the way through the Bible. When God gets ready to do something, he's going to start with a seed. And this is his seed. Because Jeremiah is moving in faith. He knows they're getting sold to slavery. They hate him. The king hates him for it. I think he locked him in prison for it. And it didn't matter. It's going to happen anyway. But Jeremiah was moving in faith. See, you can be in prison and get things done. You can be sitting in a seat and get things done. You don't always have to run to a nation to get something done in that nation. You can move in the wisdom of God and procure yourself an inheritance for 1,000 years to come. So Anathoth. And he goes, for the right of redemption is for you to buy it. So Hanamiel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, buy my field. Now he's a prisoner. Most people be arguing, what am I going to do? I'm a prisoner. Why would I buy your field? But he knew what God was doing. So he said, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. What was Benjamin? He sat on the right hand, on the shoulders. That's where the key of Eliakim was, upon the shoulders. The key to the house I will put on your shoulder. Benjamin, according to the word, his inheritance, would he would dwell in the shoulders of God. He was a right hand dweller in the shoulders of God. For the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption of thine to buy for thyself. Verse 8. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. See, Jeremiah was getting the revelation. He knew that the whole country, not only the people, but the country, the lands, were going to be sold to slavery. And he needed to secure a legal right for a generation that was going to come 70 years later. When they're going to come back, they had to have a legal right to come back. And Abraham was moving in faith to secure that legal right. And he goes, I bought the field, verse 9, of Hanamiel, my uncle's son that was in Anathoth, and I weighed him the money, and even 17 shekels of silver, and I subscribed the evidence, watch this, I subscribed the evidence, sealed it, took witnesses, weighed the money, and I took the evidence of purchase, both that was sealed according to law and custom, and I gave it to Barak. And he did this in front of all these witnesses. He said, I have to have witnesses. He wrote it down. He subscribed it. He made a legal contract to purchase this land. He was moving by faith in a realm that was yet to come. God was having him secure a piece of land on the behalf of the exiles that would come back. It was the seed that gave them the right to come back and possess the land. And he did it in the presence of witnesses. Verse 14. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, watch this. Take the evidence of this purchase, both which is sealed and the evidence which is open, put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. They put them in a clay jar, and I pretty much guarantee he buried it. What God was saying to him, this purchase is for another day. He said, you're my prophet. You can move with me in my face. You can move with me. Because at this point, Jeremiah knew what he was doing. I'm not purchasing this for me. My calling's over. He's at the end of his day. I'm doing this for another generation. I'm securing the rite of passage for the exiles to come. And God's going to show some of you gospel entrepreneurs how to inherit something with a seed. You keep thinking you have the whole thing. But if you learn the value of how God secures the right of inheritance by legal seed. This was the seed. I'm going to show it to you. Take these evidences, verse 14. This evidence of this purchase, which is sealed. And put them in earthen vessel that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Go to 14. Let's do it again. Ready? For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, take these evidences of this purchase, this evidence of purchase, both which is sealed, the evidence which is open, put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord, what you're doing is not for your time. Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. And this is the legal right of it. They secured the legal right of 41,000 exiles to come back and own land. They weren't going to just come out. God had given that land to the heathen. He gave up his inheritance. He had to come back and get it legally. He goes, all I need is one seed. Say one seed. One seed. The Lord showed this to me, this wisdom in these markets. He told me, he goes, you are a possessor of heaven and earth. And you're going to have dominion over this. And I'm like, that's a pretty big feel. He said, yeah, but I need you to buy stock in the field now. He goes, that gives you access and it gives me access to go stand. Because I was standing in these fields doing all my stuff that I do. And the Lord said, don't bring me in there. I remember the day he did it. He came to me and he said, do not bring me into something illegal. You're asking me to stand in a place that you don't have legal right to. How much more I don't have legal right. Because I'm asking him according to his word. I said, but you promised. He said, promise is promise. He goes, but legal right is legal right. He goes, go buy stock in the field. And then you and I both can stand there. Because all I need is a well. All I need is a purchase. It don't matter how big or small. Just give me a foot. So let me stick my foot in there. And then we're going to take that foot and stamp it down on the enemy. Every once in a while, I'll lay those stocks down and I'll step on them. Well, that's turned into a big old well now. A vault that's going to get filled. You think God's just going to transfer the wealth of the nations? God has to have legal right to put it all in our hands. And there is wisdom in what I'm saying to you right now that will give God legal right to transfer the agricultural commodities to the people of God. Precious metals to the people of God. Gemstones to the people of God. Currency, lands, cattle, sheep. It doesn't matter. I don't have to own 1,000 cattle on a hill. But I need to go buy one. But I need legal ownership. But if I have legal ownership, I can ask God to multiply that to 1,000 cows. See, the reason, what did he say, Anatoth was, this is the key to answered prayer for the inheritor. This is the inheritor's answered prayer. So God says, you're going to give you something, and you're just waiting for the big thing to happen. But God said, you got to get you a seed. If he's telling me I'm going to own 1,000 cows, I need to go buy one. I mean, put a picture. I don't need him in my backyard. But I need a picture, and I have to have right of ownership, and it's got to be in my name. What I'm saying to you, there's some greater things coming. The crown is going to own some seeds from all over the earth. Do you know there are a certain group of people on the earth that have taken the highest grade of seed, agriculture seed, and they've put it and stored it away in banks, seed banks. The highest quality of seeds, and they put it in banks because that is wealth. They take it from the best soil, the highest quality, and they shove it in banks. There's a lot of things going on the earth that we need to be awakened to. This all stuff is supposed to be ours. So we keep saying, oh, God, give me the whole thing. That's not how God works. He told Abraham, go walk the breadth of it in the realm of the spirit. Like I close my eyes and walk around. He goes, but when it comes time to own it, we're going to have a contractual right of ownership. But I don't need you to own the whole land. See, we keep thinking we need the $100 million or the $1 billion to own the $1 billion. We don't need $1 billion to own a $1 billion field. We do need right of access so God in us can stamp his foot down. There's a seed that God gives to give access for your prayer. Sometimes we're praying for something. God said, I'm not touching that. You have no legal right to stand there, and neither do I. So let's repeat that again. Don't miss what's in verse 14 and 15. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, take these evidences of this purchase and these witnesses that you subscribe, the subscription of this purpose. Take them, both which is sealed and the evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. And this is the purpose. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses, fields, and vineyards shall be possessed again in the land. You have just secured the inheritance of a promised land for a generation that will come after you 70 years later. Guess who gets the reward? Jeremiah. He didn't buy a piece of land. He bought the entire land. And as soon as he did, God promised it. Now watch what happens in the last. Let's go down to verse 36. We can shout heirs all day long, but God has a method by which we inherit. And if you understand what he's saying with this, and you start getting with his program, you're going to give him authority to put his foot inside your foot. Let's say like this, you're going to give him authority to put riches and glory inside of your wallet, inside of your bank account, inside of your generational bank account. Listen, I've been believing God for inheritance for 35 years. God said, listen, you have to understand inheritors live by a different realm of wisdom. You have to understand how we do it here. Am I teaching me? So verse 36. So, and now therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, concerning this city whereof you say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and my great wrath, and I'll bring them again to this place, and I'll cause them to dwell in safety. So he's giving a promise. They're all coming back. Notice what he says at the end of the chapter. Verse 41. Yes, God's still speaking to him. I rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord. Here it is. Here is the byproduct of the seed. Here's the inherited part. Like as I have brought all this evil upon this people, I will bring upon them all the good that I promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land. Oh, really? Whereof you say it's desolate without man or beast. It's given to the hand of the Chaldeans or the Babylon. Verse 44. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south. I will cause their captivity to return. If you put verse 44 with verse 15, you understand what God was doing. Because he said, for thus saith the Lord, verse 15, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again. And in verse 44, he tells them, when they come out, they'll all have right of inheritance to buy the land again. I give it back to them. He gave them right to return that day. Not when he fulfilled his word. He gave them right of return that day. Everybody. Not this land, but all of it. You see that? It wasn't just the land of Benjamin. He said, lands of the south, land of the mountains. You see how one purchase procured the right for God to bring his people out of Babylon and repurchase the entire land. It's the wisdom of Anatoth. It's the seed. It's understanding how we inherit by seed and not by the whole. If you get the proper seed and understand what you're doing with it and you don't let go, when its end is fulfilled, you'll own the entire land. You'll own what God said to you, but he'll start it with a seed. Now, I know what we've done in the body of Christ. We always produce the seed. We just put the money in the offering plate. But we're talking about inheriting right now. We're talking about how to inherit asset, land, cattle. Listen, there's going to be some owners up in here. The first thing's going to happen is you're going to have to broaden your understanding. You're going to stretch forth your vision a little bit and understand what it is God wants you to do. Some of you are getting invited to the king's table. And if you're getting invited to the king's table, you better understand how the king table works. Because when God comes to you at the king's table and said, you are a possessor of heaven and earth, that is your field. If you're going to scrabble all your life with when you're going to give it to me, when you're going to give it to me, when you're going to give it to me, God said, get busy. I've already given. Go get you a chunk. Go buy you a piece of it. You know, I can have the whole pie. I just need to buy one piece. Get you a positional hold on what God has said. You can't just represent and pray aimlessly out there. That's what he was saying. This is the key. Anatoth was the key to answered prayer for the inheritor. Don't aimlessly wander around, waiting, wishing, because you'll be waiting a long time. You got to get a foothold in what you're believing God for. We've got more wells. Look at your neighbor. We've got more wells. The good thing about God is God never runs out of wells. Amen? And he saves his best well for the last. The well of Beersheba. He's got the well of the seven. Out of your belly is going to flow a big river. It didn't say river, rivers. Say rivers. Out of your almost belly will flow the great seven spirits of God. The well of Beersheba will flow again. Find what God has told you. Zero in. Procure you a seed. And begin to believe. Really simple to do if you're an investor in a markets or something. Just go buy you a piece. But get it in writing. Get your name on it or the name of your entity. So you can stand on it. Amen? Let me just broaden your horizon, then we'll close. What if the crown intends on inheriting the entire earth, which it will? It would need a seed in every single part of the earth, either of land, agriculture, precious metal, gem. I don't need to own all the gems of the earth for the crown to own them. All I need to do is have a couple of them. What if we had an inheritor vault?